Bloomberg on the Economy with Mike McKee and Carol Masser. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
Will Ron Johnson survive as chief executive of the troubled retailer? Brian Sozzi of NBG Productions joins us now. And Brian, first things first, JCPenney, to great fanfare, relaunched many of its stores last week with the store within a store concept, the Joe Fresh stores being a big point that they advertised. Did you go and check it out?
Oh, I most certainly did. And I have to say that the store, the shop and shops, Joe Fresh, were pretty interesting. And I had my contact network out there, and they also noted that they were out of stocks. And I think yesterday you saw the stock pop at the open because there was a little optimism that perhaps as they add more of these interesting shop and shops, that maybe through it all, JCPenney could maybe survive the year. You're drawing a lot of distinctions there, of course, connecting a lot of dots, but I did like the product. Everything I heard, it was at a great price point, and it drove traffic, and it sold out.
Is it too little too late, though?
Well, the fact with them is these shopping shops are only going in some of their top stores. So you're going to have what I call zombie retailers or zombie JCPenney stores in many bad locations not getting this interesting product. But with even in the top doors that get new shopping shops that maybe get Martha product, you need a lot of them to drive sales. You need a lot of these shopping shops in volume to drive more higher price point goods. And then you need consumers coming in the stores on a consistent basis, and JCPenney is still not showing you that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got to create that buzz and get people interested and get the foot traffic in there. Another reason we saw why the stock did get a little bit of a pop was that ISI proposed that JCPenney turn its top 300 stores into a real estate investment trust-like instrument that would sublet space to other brands. Brian, is real estate JCPenney's most valuable asset right now?
I don't know the value. I know everything. When I think of what's happening with JCPenney, I'm thinking of what happened with Sears. And everybody thought that Sears, many years ago when Lampert came on board, would sell off assets, sell off land to raise money. And they've done that to a small extent. But if you look at what JCPenney owns, it's not necessarily valuable real estate. It's not like they're holding some of the top real estate in major metro markets. They own locations that are in where the population has gone, moved into the city, and the mall locations are not that strong. Mm. So what is the value? I think if they sell off a lot of this land, they can raise a couple bucks, sure, but I don't think it could prevent them from a liquidity crisis.
Yeah, Vornado, for instance, the commercial property owner, sold down its stake in JCPenney because of the stock's performance, and that speaks volumes, doesn't it?
Absolutely. What is Vornado? I mean, they have JCPenney as a long-term tenant. So I think that was a big vote of no confidence on JCPenney's longer-term strategy, but potentially then signal that, hey, we're worried about stores going up in smoke and this company maybe not being here 5 years down the line, maybe even 2 years down the line.
Okay. Now, after the company reported earnings in late February, JCPenney actually showed up at this Bank of America retail conference. You've been blogging about it. You wrote about it. You saw their presentation. You weren't impressed, were you?
Was not impressed. I mean, and mind you, I had low expectations going into this thing, Scarlett. I wasn't expecting anything big. Earnings call wasn't that exciting.
Your expectations were suitably managed down.
Absolutely. I am not expecting much out of this company at all. But the one key takeaway was glaringly negative, was that I think they signaled to the market the willingness to go and try to raise junk debt. And coming into this conference call, you only thought the company would sell assets and tap its credit revolver, orchestrate its turnaround. The fact that they're potentially considering raising debt at penalizing interest rates is a big negative that was not in the cards, and I still don't think investors appreciate that.
That just means it doesn't have enough cash to operate.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're burning through this like firewood in a stove in a cold winter day. I mean, you're really worried about JCPenney's cash burn rate in the first half of the year as they roll out these shopping shops. And the fact of the matter is this. I went to a couple of JCPenney stores. You see they have a lot of store under construction. That is no sales. I mean, they're not able to offer the consumer products because they're not on the floor.
Everyone blames Ron Johnson. Is that fair?
It's fair. I mean, he was very arrogant. He came to market with a new approach, and he tried to change things within department store that have been around since department stores came to being, or even since Walmart, and since Sam Walton pioneered with Walmart many years ago, promotions. But also, I just think the market is not receptive to pulling back on promotions. It takes a while to drive change in the industry, mm-hmm. and it's just not there yet. I do like some of the things he's doing, but it just takes a while to get the consumer comfortable with new JCPenney.
So how much time does he have left? I mean, how long is the board willing to put up with Ron Johnson, and how long are investors willing to be patient?
Well, everybody I talk to, they think he... I actually had some sources say he was going to be out 2 weekends ago. Mm-hmm. I didn't buy that because here's the deal. Who are they going to get to come in and run this company? They need to get another executive. I don't think Ackman would be the person to successfully orchestrate a turnaround. And right now, JCPenney is a hard sell to another executive to come in there and just take over what Johnson is doing. I think Johnson at least gets until the middle of this year to more shop-in-shops come in. They can get more sales. They'll run more coupons, I'm hearing, in the upcoming months to drive traffic and drive better performance. At the end of the day, I still think he has holiday 2013.
You mentioned Ackman, Bill Ackman, of course, because his Pershing Square Capital owns about 18% of JCPenney, the biggest shareholder. Bill Ackman has been kind of quiet on JCPenney so far. Do you expect that to change?
Well, I mean, he's down so much. And a lot of the reports now that he's going to take this company private, but I don't necessarily agree with that, because what is he taking private? He's still taking the same company private that's in the market right now, that's still remodeling stores, that's still bleeding cash. I think for him, we want to wait this out in the public markets until they show a little improvement in sales, the stock moves up a little bit, and then he can sell a turnaround. Because the fact is, I mean, JCPenney still has a whole bunch of other shareholders, and if they see improvement, I think they'll probably fight against Ackman taking the company private.
Let's also talk about another retailer, Lululemon, LULU on the NASDAQ. Mm-hmm. A little bit of controversy this morning because its best-selling yoga pants, the Luon pants, had to be recalled because they were a little bit too sheer. They showed a little bit too much. Now, Lululemon, famous for understocking its inventory, it doesn't have too much stock on the floors. So this is a really big hit for the company, isn't it?
Well, full disclosure, I don't own any of the men's products, and I really am not going out to buy them today. But this is what typically happens with a high-growth retail. They just don't have the supply chain underneath themselves to drive consistent quality product all the time. And when you're opening stores so aggressively like Lululemon and you're expanding your online business, you don't have the people, you don't have the systems to, let's say, inspect the product as you did a couple years ago. But here's the big takeaway with Lululemon, and I think why the stock continued to remain under pressure. For the first time in Lululemon's history, now they're giving the consumer an option to go shop, let's say, Dick's Sporting Goods to look at some of Nike's yoga wear or order goods off the Gap's athletic brand. And I think that's the bigger takeaway here.
They're pushing consumers away. Lululemon blames its Taiwan supplier, one supplier, for these pants. Is that surprising that they have one supplier?
Not surprising. I mean, that's what you see when with retailers in their infancy. And Lululemon's been around for a while, sure, but still a very young retailer where they continue to rely on top suppliers. They've built that relationship up. They probably put too much stress on this one particular supplier. Mm-hmm. Because Lululemon, obviously, is a publicly traded company. They have to meet Wall Street estimates, and their demand is growing so much, they need consistent product. And this is the first blow for them, that they need to kind of go the way of Nike and start to expand their supply chain.
Tell us quickly how Lululemon managed to become the industry standard for yoga wear. I mean, my understanding is they give free clothes to yoga instructors.
That's correct. I mean, if you look at that a couple of years ago, there was always yoga wear, yoga products, but not marketed as a high-quality offering as Lululemon. So they essentially came out of nowhere and created a new market. And what they've done with getting the product into, let's say, yoga, fitness studios, and gym, it's ingenious. So they're incubating the brand from the ground up, and they've had a lot of people out there promoting it basically for free. I mean, yoga instructors get the product for nothing. I mean, they just have to promote the Lululemon brand, so it works quite well.
Yeah, they wear it, and then everyone else says, wait, I want to get a pair too. Thank you so much. Brian Sozzi of NBG Productions joining us this morning on JCPenney and Lululemon. This is Bloomberg on the Economy. You're listening to Bloomberg Radio. It's 11:59 a.m. Betty Liu in the Loop at the Half is next.
From the financial capital of the world, this is WBBR New York, Bloomberg 1130.
In the Loop at the Half is presented by Prestige Motors. Prestige Motors offers luxury brands and experience at non-luxury.
Listen to Bloomberg on the Economy weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013, Bloomberg LP.